Welcome to another episode of GEQ Speaks, your go-to platform for insightful conversations, captivating stories, and thought-provoking discussions. GEQ is a series of experiences, and we're just making sense of that as we go along. That is what we're doing here, one conversation at a time. So sit back, relax, and let's dive into our episode.
Hello. So today we're going to be speaking about Ramadan from all over the world. I'm the host for this episode. I'm Nadal Gihani. I'm from Egypt. And I'm going to be introducing other students who are also going to speak about this.
Hello. My name is Jawahar. I am from Uzbekistan and I'm a freshman.
Hello. My name is Iman and I'm from France and I'm a sophomore.
Hi. I'm Mahwash. I'm from Afghanistan. I'm also a sophomore.
Thank you for introducing yourselves. How would you say Ramadan Kareem or Ramadan Mubarak in your language?
It's quite similar. You would just say Ramadan Mubarak.
So you have two ways. You have the Arabic way of saying it. So it'd be like with the French accent. So Ramadan Mubarak or Bon Ramadan.
Oh, okay. Ours is very similar to Uzbekistan's. It's Ramadan Mubarak. We just say Ramadan instead of Ramadan.
Yeah. In Egypt, we usually say Ramadan Kareem. Okay, so let's start first about like our daily routines. Can you like walk us through like a day in Ramadan in your homeland?
Well, it usually starts with the family suhoor. I think it's the case with many of the families. So we gather with our family, our moms and sisters usually cook a meal. And then we have a meal and then it differs. Some people prefer to pray Fajr and then go to sleep. Get some rest. Some people try to be productive and do some work done in the morning because I think it's one of the best times if you want to get some good work done. So it depends on the schedule. And then we just go on with our daily lives. We try to make sure that we follow the same kind of routine, that we don't try to adjust ourselves like it's Ramadan, I'm not going to do this or this or this. Just trying to make sure that we get the most out of the deeds and trying not to become lazy, but try to make most of the Ramadan and make sure that we pray on time, that we engage in a good conversation with our family members, but also just to have the most deeds out of the Ramadan. And just it's a different kind of feeling that you're going to have. And towards the evening, all the family members again gather for iftar. We have iftar, and the iftar is usually very long. It's like an hour and a half when you really get to have good, candid conversations with your family members. And then the men usually go to Tarawih. In my country, women don't go to mosque to Tarawih, so they pray it at home. So that's like one difference in, I think, in the daily routines that I've seen between Uzbekistan and here, for instance.
That's really interesting. For us in Egypt, women usually go to also pray Tarawih in the masjid, but sometimes like they would prefer to stay at home. It's like not that common.
Yeah. For us, like even for like Jummas, women never go to mosques. Oh. It's only the men who go to mosque for prayers like Jummah or Tarawih.
Yeah, that's interesting to know. How about France?
So France, it's very different because it's not a Muslim country. So there aren't any accommodations, like for example, in Qatar, or not everyone around you is fasting like at all. You're a minority. So everything is open. So it's a normal day in life. So you'd go to school. Fajr is pretty late. Usually during the summer, depending on the season, can be at 5 o'clock. So people usually stay awake afterwards and get ready to go to school or work. So it's a normal day. So it's you start school or work around 8 and then you'd finish around 5 and then you go home. And Ramadan during summer is Maghrib is at 10 p.m. So it's a very long day. It's pretty hard. I'd say fasting in France is pretty hard in the sense that no one's fasting around you. So everything is open. There's still lunch breaks. So people are having their lunch and the day is very long, and you don't have also that time allocated for a nap because you're working. The part about worshiping, and because it's a month of worship, really comes after Maghrib. During the day, it's pretty difficult. So you'd have usually a good iftar with family. That's when like communities get back together. It's very, very family-based. So people go back to their families a lot for Ramadan in France because it's communities. It's who you go back to because your friends are not Muslim. And you'd have a small iftar, and not small, normal, good dinner. You, of course, you'd have, depending or of where you're from, where you originate from, either you're Moroccan, Algerian, or you're purely French. You're a French convert. Depending, that will depend on how your iftar will look like. And then after there's Taraweeh, and Taraweeh is very late too. It's like at midnight, which is pretty tough also because you have school in the morning or you have work in the morning. But usually the men go. Women can go, of course women can go, but usually I grew up seeing the women in my family doing it at home. Not a lot of time at the masjid, just because I think it takes a lot of time and lots of energy. And that's the worship. There isn't much during the day in terms of worshiping, it's usually, except for the prayers. It all comes at night. Yeah.
How would you say Ramadan is different compared to like experiencing it here in a Muslim country?
I mean, here everyone does it with you, so there's this sort of you're not alone. There's big community, and everyone can relate to each other. While in France, you're alone. You're very alone, especially in workplaces, at school. People are going to eat their lunch in front of you. People are going to ask you to go eat with them because they're going to forget, which isn't an issue, but. Here everything is closed. Here you have hours that are shortened. You have time to take a nap. And also even the hours of fasting are way, way shorter. So it essentially is easier and you don't have a full day of work. So.
Yeah. I also agree because like Ramadan in Egypt is all about like family coming together. And like for us, like Ramadan is a symbol of like unity coming together. So I feel that sense of like, knowing that you're not alone, everyone is around you, is what make Ramadan in a Muslim country like special.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like even though if you're in a Western country, you still got rewarded, maybe even more.
Yeah.
Because like it's even harder.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Mahwash? How is it in Afghanistan?
Yeah, it's very similar actually because when I came here, with the point that you said, it's a lot easier to fast here. Back home, it's a lot harder because of course the days are longer. From what I remember. So what we normally do is we wake up very early, like around 2-ish, to like cook for suhoor. We call it sahri. So like around 2, somebody cooks and then the rest of the family wakes up. We all eat together. And something that's very staple in like our routine is that we need to have tea. So you have like, you keep 1 hour just for tea so that you can like just drink tea. It really helps actually. Like you don't feel dehydrated or thirsty as much the next day. So that's one thing. And then after that, we all pray together. And some people go to sleep, some people just stay awake. And then people have different like routines. Like some people go to school. Like in my family, a lot of us were like students. So we would go to school or do stuff around the house, etc. Normal day. And something else is that our iftar is two ways. Either you have it with your own family, or if you're very close to your neighbors, or I grew up with my neighbors being like extended family, like especially from my mom's side. So we all used to have like a big iftar together. And you have this like area outside your house. This is like every Afghan house. And you put like your table, or like we call it sufra. And we were like three big families. So everybody would like bring a dish. And we all would like sit together, have iftar. So that was basically it.
Yeah, that's really nice to know. Okay, do you have any core childhood memories about Ramadan specifically?
Well, as for me, last 3 years of high school, I went to a boarding school. So the whole Ramadan time was when I was at school. So it was with friends. And our school was very generous and they provide suhoor and iftar. Mm. So that was really nice. And it was the best thing was that everyone wakes up and there is no way you're going to sleep in because your friend, someone's going to be up and they're going to wake you up. And then you go to suhoor together. Sometimes you study with them, you do projects, and it's very different from what you would expect, like in a family setting, having suhoor with friends, iftar with friends. Everything is revolves around friends, and you go to home only on the weekends, and that's when you really get to talk and meet with your family members. But other than that, if we go way back to when I was a child, when I was like 5, 6, we had this tradition. I think the same thing kind of you have here in Qatar. When we went to Iqtashf Qatar, they've talked about that. When the kids gather and they go to the neighbor's houses and they get sweets or money, or it can be a different thing.
Yeah, that's called Garangao night.
Yeah. Yeah. So as far as I know, it's only one day, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Uzbekistan, it happens randomly. So you can literally go the whole Ramadan if you want. My friends tell me that they go to like 3-2 neighborhoods away from their home, and I think it has a bigger emphasis in our country, where you just go and sing songs like it's called Ramadan Kilde, which means Ramadan came, and with this kind of songs you spend time with your friends, and it's usually your grandparents and extended family members to whose house you go and collect your treasures and things like that. So that's one of the childhood memories I really remember.
Actually, in Egypt, we also have a song that's similar to what you said. It's also translates to like Ramadan came, but it's like Ramadan gana. It's like the same, but in Egypt. Also, for Egypt, I would say that like similar to what like people go in here in Qatar, and as you said, in
Uzbekistan.
Yeah, in Egypt, usually elder people would give like fawanis Ramadan, which is like toys that has like a Ramadan shaped toy. Okay, it's really like famous in Egypt, and I think also in the Arab world. So I feel like this is like my core childhood memory. Like Ramadan for me is associated with like these fawanis. Yeah, how about it in France?
I don't have a specific core memory, but I think the atmosphere of it and sense of being with family, and I mean extended family, so cousins, so everything gathered around, and like the food too. So it's my grandparents' food, because on my dad's side of the family, my grandparents are Algerian, so it was a lot of food from Algeria that was presented at table, and all my cousins are around and everyone's playing around. So the core memory would always be iftar, I think, because that's when everyone would gather from their day, and everyone was really tired, but then everyone would get into the kitchen. Usually my aunts would get in the kitchen and start cooking at my grandma's, and we'd all eat, all the cousins, and have fun. So to me, it was really about that. And I think another core memory was when we were younger and weren't really properly fasting, is to see how last you could last, like, could you last till like 10 p.m. or not? Yeah. Could you or could you not? Between my brothers and my cousins. So that was my
career. Yeah, I think all of us used to have these
like competitions.
Yeah, competitions with your siblings and cousins, like who's going to fast more? Yeah. Whether I'm going to like fast. Can I just fast and drink water or like not?
But 10 p.m. as a child.
Of course, it's 12, like noon. So you have your iftar like at noon.
Oh.
And then you like fast the rest again. Yeah, like just drink a cup of tea or not tea, like water.
Yeah. And then you go back to fasting again.
Yeah. You go back to fasting.
Yeah.
Same for me. I feel like just having like competitions like that. And like we also had this other thing where you like fast 3 days at the beginning, like as a child, 3 days in the middle, and then the last 3 days. So that like you're doing something, but like you're not doing like the whole of it because you can't literally do it.
Can you tell us about like any art, music, or performances that are uniquely associated with Ramadan in your culture?
Well, I don't know any of the dances or other performances, but as I said, the Ramadan Kilde, which means Ramadan came song, is very popular, and it happens, and you can actually hear it. If you're sitting at home, you usually hear someone, some kids going around your neighborhood and singing it. So it's always that kind of association exists. But other than that, I don't know. I think that's the only one that I can think of right now.
Do you have any?
Well, France is very secular. so not really. No.
Okay.
What about Afghanistan?
We don't as well, but what we do is, I don't know if you guys know the show that's an Iranian show. It's the, it kind of depicts the story of Prophet Yusuf. It's called like, I don't know what it's called, but like, I don't know why throughout the whole of like 30 days, like all our TV channels like broadcast that. So we all like grew up watching that throughout like the holy month of Ramadan.
Oh, actually, I have something for Egypt. Like, and I was actually surprised to know that this happened also in Turkey and Pakistan. Like, we would have drummers in Egypt. We call them Sahirati, and they would walk up around like the neighborhoods, and they would like just call up random people names, and just to wake them up for suhoor. And I remember when I was a child, we would literally like let my grandma tell the guy to like say our names, so we could like actually wake up for suhoor. Yeah, and there is also like here in Qatar, there's cannons being fired.
Yeah, yes, yeah, Maghrib. We experienced one. It's so loud.
It's very loud.
It's so loud. Oh, is that for suhoor as well, or is it just for?
I think iftar? Just for iftar.
It's just iftar. Yeah.
It's just iftar.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about modern influences. How have modernity or globalization reshaped Ramadan traditions in your community?
Well, that's a tough question. Maybe you'll want to start.
Yeah, I was asking my friends as well. Like, we were talking about this, but like, there's nothing really like prominent that I can think of.
I think. So, oh, do you want to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that in generally speaking, I think that Ramadan is becoming a lot more less like about family. And there's a lot more friends involved in Ramadan. So I used to, like, at least growing up, it was a lot about family. But as I'm growing up and I'm looking around me, and also being in university, but even back home in France, I think every Ramadan, it's more and more normalized to have iftar with your friends. While growing up, it wasn't. It was all about family, and you have iftar with your family. And you shouldn't even think about having iftar with your friends, because even your friends are having iftar with their family. Which, so it was seen as bizarre. So, but I think it is every year, at least for me, I feel like it's more and more normalized to have iftar with your friends or go out for iftar with friends and not necessarily spend it with family. Mm. Yeah, that's my take on this.
Do you guys prefer having Ramadan with your, like, iftar with your friends or family?
I wish I could have it with my family, but I literally grew up in a boarding school. So all my iftars for like the past 7 years have been with my like friends and like the people that I grew up with technically. So, but I would rather have it with my family, definitely.
How about like the role of social media in shaping the Ramadan experience?
I think a positive thing is that like you do see like a lot of, especially for me, like influencers that really like, you know, show the work and like Ramadan balance that I really like. So like watching that kind of motivates me to like looking at their routine. I'm like, oh, I could actually do it and not just go like sometimes sleep and etc. So I think that is a positive thing, like from the social media aspect.
Also, I think, yeah, kind of similar, because I remember myself watching like searching Ramadan routine videos for Ramadan just to see how they're like fitting gym and studying and Quran and everything into their schedule. And it's good that we can have some people making schedules and then kind of adjust them and follow them. Okay. But also I think the way social media is influencing is that there's a lot of information now available, and it's very easy to consume because there are lots of reels and shorts and YouTube videos that you can search about Ramadan or about the religion in general. So it's very accessible, very easy. It's not only like books that you need to read to get religious knowledge, but also you can access it from different channels. And I think that can be a good thing, that can be a bad thing, but overall I think it's a better experience.
I also agree, like, especially when you go through Instagram, like right now in Ramadan, a lot of like dua and like Quran ayats like pop up for me personally. And I feel that's a good way to like also like remind yourself when you're scrolling through social media that this is like a month of worship. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's a good reminder also sometimes.
I was thinking also, I think it's a good also tool for awareness for people that don't do Ramadan, because I was on the phone with my brother, and my brother studies back at in Paris, and he was telling me it's funny because I feel like this year a lot of students are way more aware of Ramadan and how it goes and how it works. Even some of my friends told me that aren't Muslim or don't fast told me Ramadan Mubarak, oh, let me not eat in front of you, oh, let me try fasting with you, oh, I saw this and this on social media, is that how it works? So I think it's I think it can be a really good tool in terms of bringing awareness.
Okay, let's talk more about work and life balance during Ramadan, especially with like midterms coming up soon. So how do you manage fasting and also like your assignments?
I've tried to prepare myself for Ramadan by sleeping earlier and waking up early, because that's one thing that you really have to manage. And what happens for me is that, so I go to Taraweeh at night, and then finish it around like 9:30, 9, and then I just go back to sleep, and I wake up for Suhoor. Otherwise, there is no way I'm going to wake up for Suhoor, and it's going to be very difficult the next day to fast, and with the prayers, with all that. So that has been kind of my schedule. Sometimes I occasionally sleep after Suhoor, but usually I try to get my work done before Maghrib, because after Maghrib, there is usually no time for you to work or do any assignments. So that's kind of like, it's a lot of discipline that is required, because you can't go back home after Taraweeh and sit on social media or do anything, literally, if you're going to spend a couple of hours doing something after Taraweeh, then you probably will have a difficulty waking up for Suhoor and Fajr, and the rest will it's just going to become a mess. Your schedule is going to become a mess. So I think it's the discipline is very much important.
Mahwash, how do you manage?
I don't manage. Literally, my schedule is so bad right now. Like, I feel like every Ramadan it's also because it's like my schedule normally is not that amazing. Like, I have 8:30 class one day, the next day it's 11:30. So it's not like that consistent. So with Ramadan, I feel like my sleep has been really bad. So I'm aspire to be that, too, so I could like actually like sleep really early and then wake up and then don't sleep after Suhoor at all. So I've tried it a couple of times, but I need to like probably within a week I will hopefully adapt faster. And I think I want to keep up with that to like work probably after Suhoor. So that's the best way probably I will be more productive.
Yeah, I think the first few weeks are like are hard to like adapt, and then I feel you get the hang of it after.
Yeah.
What about you?
So I also try to get everything done before iftar, because like you said, I think there isn't enough time after iftar to get anything done, because you're having iftar, you eat, you pray your maghrib, you eat, and then it's Isha, and then you go pray your taraweeh, and then your taraweeh takes also around an hour and a half. So you're out of the mosque around same time, 9:30, 9, 9:15. And then after that, it's you're tired or you just want to lie down or rest, but you have work to do. So what I try to do is get everything done beforehand, even gym, which is very hard to fit in the schedule with uni, because we have classes, and then for some of us we work here at uni and meetings and all that. But it does require a lot of discipline. I do agree with that. So what I do is get everything done, and then try to enjoy my evening in terms of eating and then my prayers. And then try to go home and then sleep and wake up for Suhoor. But then I sleep after Suhoor. I cannot stay awake. I don't have it in me. I wish I could. I really wish I could. I will try, hopefully. But I need more sleep.
How do you do so much before iftar? Like, I feel like I am on my last brain cell.
I don't
like
stop.
Right before.
I don't let myself.
She goes to the gym. She doesn't analyze that. I'm like, how?
Because I know I'm on the verge of cracking, right? Especially the hour before iftar.
Yeah.
But I don't let myself dwell on it because I know the moment I will sit down and be oh, I'm tired.
Right.
I'm not gonna move. I'm just gonna wait for iftar.
That's actually really inspiring because I cannot do anything before iftar. I can't. Yeah. I always delay my stuff after. I delay all my work and assignments to do more about after iftar, actually more after tarawih, so I can feel like I'm more productive at night, so that's why. And I feel in the morning it's easier to just do read Quran or something that's not that hectic and doesn't require a lot of brain cells from me, so I could that's how I divide my day.
I think it depends also how early you start uni. I think that plays a role because I start at 8 every day.
Oh,
yeah.
Not 8:38. So to me, I have to get everything done during the day if I want to get proper sleep. And even the Quran is done in the morning on my way to uni or, yeah.
I don't have an 8:30 class. Oh. I used to have it last year. And it was actually really hard, an 8:30 class with Ramadan. Yeah. So good job, guys.
It's not even class. It's my work shift.
I do calculus at 8:30, so need more brain cells in the morning.
Yeah, you get rewarded for that for sure. Okay, last thing I want to talk about. Let's get connected back to our countries. What's one specific Ramadan dish you all love about your country?
Well, I would say it's not a Ramadan dish. It's an Uzbek dish. Okay. In general, you eat it every week, and especially in Ramadan, you eat it every day, which is palov. Osh, plow, it has different meanings. It's kind of biryani, but it has a lot more ingredients to it than biryani. So yeah, that's what you eat for suhoor, sometimes for iftar. So it's a staple food that is cooked almost every day during Ramadan.
What about you?
So, I'm laughing because we don't have a staple dish in France for Ramadan. There isn't a staple dish in France because France isn't a Muslim country. But I'd say from the Algerian side part of my family, there's this Algerian dish. It's called brix. And it's not similar paper to samosas, like the wrapping of a samosa, but it's not a samosa. It's rectangle. And it's filled in with meat and coriander. And you can pretty much add whatever you want to it. And then it's fried on a pan, in a pan. And some people, I know that there are variations of it. I know some people do it with tuna. Some do it with people with mashed potatoes. So that's very, very, it's not only Algerians. I think it's North African, as in Tunisia and Morocco also. That's very specific to Ramadan. They don't do it during the year at all. Yeah, that's the Algerian, but friend doesn't exist.
What about you, Mahwash?
For us, I think it would be probably bolani. Like even the making of it, right before iftar, it's you do it as a whole family. And it's actually a vegetarian dish. And it's, I don't know if you guys know aloo paratha that's around. It's very similar to that, but it has more filling. And yeah, it's pretty good. So I would say bolani. And it's also light, so.
Yeah. I think for Egypt, we have a lot of dish, but we don't have a dish that we don't do throughout the year. But there are dishes that we would do more in Ramadan.
Mm.
And I feel it's more usually desserts, Amr al-Din, which is more something like a pudding. Okay, and then we also have atayif, kunafa, basbousa, all of these stuff. We really love desserts. That's why we make all type of desserts. After iftar, we need to have a dessert.
Right.
Especially during Ramadan. That's something really important for us in Egypt. Do you guys have any concluding remarks?
Yeah. You guys got this. Happy Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak.
Stay disciplined.
Yeah. Just try to maximize the benefit that you're getting from Ramadan. And I think it's an amazing time to build new habits. And if you get it done in Ramadan, you can get it done throughout the year. So just try to make sure that you set your routine right, your schedule, your classes, everything right during this month, and just make sure that the rest of the year will be as Ramadan has passed for you this year.
Yeah, that's a really good advice. Thanks for good sharing. Answer.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's it for the Ramadan episode. It was really interesting to learn more about Uzbekistan, France, and Afghanistan. I shared my part from Egypt. And even though we have differences, there are a lot of similarities. And at the end, Ramadan is what brings all of us together. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of GUQ Speaks. We hope you've gained valuable insights and inspirations from our conversation today. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to follow us on our Instagram page at GUQ_speaks, and be sure to leave a review on Spotify to show your support.